Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another week of Smart Mouth. I am your host, Catherine Spires. And before we begin, I wanted to thank Steve Hernandez for pledging at the $10 and above level on Patreon, which means anytime he has a question about food, he can write in and I will answer it on air. We're at patreon.com/smartmouthpodcast. All right. We have a guest this week who is in town sometimes, Emanuele Filiberto di Savoia. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Happy to be here.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. So we were just discussing before we went on air that your title is Prince.
The history, yeah.
The history.
Yeah.
So do people have to address you by with honorifics or anything like that when you're in Europe? Obviously not in America.
No. They call me Emanuele.
Okay.
But yes, Prince, because my grandfather was the last king of Italy.
That is such a... Not many people can say sentences like what you just said and mean it.
In Italy, no, just me. But perhaps you have other countries in Europe, so they can say, yeah.
Sure, a couple. And your grandfather was forced to move to Switzerland at some point, right?
No, my grandfather, in 1946, they voted between Republic and Monarchy. Republic won, and he went in exile in Portugal.
Oh, he went to Portugal.
Yes.
How did your family end up in Switzerland?
Because he went to Portugal and my grandmother with my father went to Switzerland. Because for studies it was better.
Oh, I see.
And then they stayed. My father married a Swiss woman, who she was a world water ski champion. And then in 72, I was born in Switzerland.
You were born in Switzerland.
You know everything about me now.
To a water ski champion and a Duke. Your father's a Duke, you were saying? Okay. Man, this is all stuff that Americans just don't know about. All these titles and names and things like that. But we're getting more interested in it because of Prince Harry marrying an American.
That's true.
So we're excited.
And you have the Trump royalty now.
I don't know.
It's a royal family, no? He put all his family to business, from the daughter, the wife, the stepson. You call it stepson? No?
Son-in-law.
Son-in-law, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Son-in-law.
I mean, I do see what you're saying. I'm a little more upset about that than I am about Meghan Markle becoming a princess. But
oh yeah, she's American.
Yeah.
No?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she grew up in L.A.
Great. And she's a great actress. I was following her on Suits.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the show. She went to high school with a bunch of people that we know. She's our age exactly. We're rooting for her.
You look younger.
You're my best friend. So this is not the food that we're going to spend most of the episode talking about, but obviously we have to talk about pizza.
Yes. But why do we have to talk about pizza? Because I'm Italian?
No. Well, yes, but not just that. It's my understanding that margherita pizza, which was more or less considered to be the first type of pizza, was named after your great-grandmother.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. My great-grandmother was Queen Margherita.
Mm-hmm.
And before 20th century, just before... she went in a visit in Naples.
Mm-hmm.
And the pizzaiolo from Naples proposed to her three different pizzas.
Uh-huh.
One was, I think, a sausage pizza. We're talking about 1890, so a long, long time ago.
Uh-huh.
I think the pizza margherita is around 150 years now.
So the name came after the pizza.
The name came after the pizza.
Right, okay.
And he went in the palace of the queen,
mm-hmm.
and he gave her three different pizzas. He gave her a sausage pizza, he gave her a white pizza,
uh-huh.
and he gave her a pizza with the colors of Italy, of the Italian flag, which was white for mozzarella, green for basil, and red tomato. And she said, oh, I really like this pizza. So he said, okay, so we will call it Pizza Margherita.
That's so beautiful.
It's incredible, no?
Yes, I love that story.
And I have 2 cents each pizza sold in the world.
Oh my gosh.
No, it's not true. Imagine if I had the royalty on that.
Oh, seriously.
It would be good, no?
That would be an excellent deal for you. For sure. So do you feel self-conscious when you order pizza margarita?
No, you know, it's the name. But I really love pizza. I love pizza and I love pizza margarita. You know, I really like Italian food. Mm-hmm. Because Italian food it's very different regions to regions.
Yeah.
You can go in the north, south, east, west. I think in Italy you have 20 regions.
Mm-hmm.
Each region has its own food. And it's so rich and in colors, in flavors, in smell, that it's wonderful. Imagine, but Italy sells also they promote badly. Because we have, for example, more cheese
mm-hmm.
than in France. But when you speak about France, you think about cheese. I think France has something like 280 qualities of cheese, of different cheeses. And in Italy, you have more than 300, 320. Same thing for wines.
Yeah.
We have a lot of wines, but French wines are considered the best, which is not as true as that. Now, Italy, they do very, very good wine. If you go to Tuscany, like mm-hmm. Sassicaia, you have, Barolo, you have in Piemonte, you have incredible wines.
They just don't market themselves as well as France does, you think?
I think, you know, things, we marketed other things, but like, pasta, we do it, it's Italian. Well, no, even if it came from China, but it's mainly Italian. But I think France really marketed very well. France marketed very well kitchen. Look, if you take the 10 best chefs in the world, 4 of the 3 stars Michelin out of 10, even 5 are French. From Bocuse, from mm-hmm. Trois Gros, from Guy Savoie, from Ducasse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have something with kitchen. Even if I think French kitchen is very heavy compared to Italian kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the more of the sauces and the creams.
But you have also very good kitchen in America. I eat very well when I'm here.
What are your favorite types of foods?
American type of food? I love sushis.
Okay. And you can get it so much easier in America than you can in Europe, right?
No, there are a lot of sushis.
Really?
No, but the fishes are very good. No, but I love hamburgers. I love... I like all the, you know, like from chicken to I really really steaks in America are incredible.
Oh, really?
The meat is incredible here.
Ah, okay.
And how do you call the, the yellow thing?
Corn on the cob.
Corn, I love, yeah. Corn. No, it's great, great, great. No, I was miming. That's why she's laughing. But
you did a good job. When you're in LA, do you eat Mexican food?
I am.
Chinese food and all that.
I like all sort of food. I love tacos. I love Mexican food. I love not only tacos because you know I love enchiladas. I love what's it called? Raw fish. No, but the Mexican one.
Oh, ceviche.
Ceviche.
I love
ceviche.
Yeah.
Sushis are great. Chinese food is fantastic. Dim sums and all. I really like all sorts of food. I'm not very difficult, but I like quality.
Right. Right. You don't. So does Matilda.
We have a
She's
dog
a great
here. Do they know your dog?
Yes. Yes. They
What's
know
his name?
Matilda. She makes her presence known sometimes,
yes.
And she just wanted to say that she too appreciates quality.
Yeah.
And you are adding to the Los Angeles food scene yourself.
I am trying. I created this new concept of food truck, which is called the Prince of Venice Food Truck. So Prince of Venice is my title, and it's Venice, Italy, not Venice, Los Angeles.
Sure, sure.
No, because a lot of people say, there was the Prince of Bel-Air, Will Smith, and there's the Prince of Venice, but Venice, Italy, which is me. And so I created this food truck, which is a fresh handmade pasta truck.
Okay.
We do our own pasta on the truck.
So you actually, you crank it out right there on the truck.
Yeah. We have a machine that does fresh pasta. So we take only organic food, organic products.
Mm-hmm.
So we have our organic eggs that we take from a farm in next to LA. Flour comes from Italy because I think flour in America is not fantastic.
Interesting. Okay.
So the AAA flour, which is very light. And then everything when we do the bologna. So we flour and eggs and water, we do the pasta in the machine. So the pasta comes out freshly made every day. And then we have on the truck between 10 and 12 different sauces that goes from bolognese, pesto, amatriciana, well, you know, like in an Italian restaurant, but in the streets of Los Angeles. So I'm not coming here saying, Italian food is the best and I take Italian products. No, I really want to do the best of Italy meets the best of America. What I can find here mm-hmm. in organic farms, like the meat, tomatoes are very good here, the eggs and eggplants and all this, I buy it from here. What I think we have better in Italy, like olive oil, flour, I bring it from Italy.
Okay.
So it's, I think, a good...
Yeah, because you break some of the Italian culinary rules, like having chicken on the pasta.
Yeah, but you know, American have their own tastes.
Right. Yeah,
I cannot say no. I do what only the Italian. I must also do what people like and people enjoy. And I see during the lunch shift, they really want proteins on the pasta.
Okay.
And now I'm also in Los Angeles because I'm trying to find a brick and mortar. That's what they call here, no?
Yep, yeah, that's right.
See, so brick and mortar, a little restaurant, which would be a more of a pasta bar where you enter, you have a fresh pasta laboratory where you see how you can make pasta and then you order. Which the concept I like is I don't like the word fast food, even if I have nothing against, but a gourmet fast food.
Okay.
Eating fast, but eating well. Not waiting on a table for 45 minutes. I think people today work a lot. They don't have a lot of time to spend. And also money, because when you go in a restaurant, even a normal plate of pasta in a good Italian restaurant is like $25.
Yeah. So one of our listeners actually wanted to know, if you, do you eat fast food pizza? Have you had Domino's or Pizza
yeah.
Hut? How do you feel about that rendition?
No, so Domino's, it's a long time I haven't eaten Domino's pizza. I was going to summer camps in America. So when I was in summer camps, I used to order fast food pizza. But to be chic, you like to call... A fast casual, okay, uh-huh. fast casual. But it's, for me, fast food, meaning fast.
Right.
Food, eating fast.
Just quickly.
But you can have a lot, you know, fast food doesn't mean taking off quality. So, yes, at the beginning, fast food was when the workers come here. So you had all those fast food tacos and things, and it was cheap. But today you have... an incredible quality in fast food.
Yeah, there can be.
If you want to do it. So
right.
I think, what we're trying to do, and what is more important for me, is the quality of the ingredients we use and how they're cooked. So we're gourmet food truck. Food truck, it's fast food.
So for all of your passion about Italian food,
yeah.
you were raised in Switzerland.
Yes, I was raised in Switzerland because I was in exile, like you said. It's quite strange,
I
think.
Oh, I didn't say it. You
didn't say it? No. No, you said, you asked me why did I was raised. Yeah, raised in Switzerland because
you were in exile.
In exile, meaning I could not go back to my own country mm-hmm. until I was 30 because of the Italian law.
Did you have to petition for that? Or was it just automatic when you turned 30?
No, not at all automatic. There was votes mm-hmm. on the chamber and the Senate.
I feel like that must have been a stressful time for you.
Yeah, but you know, It happens.
It happens.
Then it's past.
Yeah. And so now you can go anytime you want.
Yes.
But you still live in Monte Carlo.
Yes.
Because what?
No, I live in Monte Carlo also because, you know, I think it's more safe and I'm less exposed than in Italy. You know, when you're a famous person and people recognize... I did a lot of television when I came back to Italy. So people recognize me for the history and also because of the work I did.
Uh-huh.
So I am not at all in this selfie Instagram mood. I'm not a Kardashian,
mm-hmm.
even if I have a great respect... I have nothing against them, but I think let's live a bit hided and let's live happy.
Mm-hmm.
So for my work, I do some press, I do things, but then I have a private life, and my private life, I don't show my private life. I think I never showed my kids on the press and, mm-hmm. and in my social medias. It's a choice,
right?
But I do not condemn at all people that have other choices,
right?
You know, I speak only for myself,
right? Right. So was it growing up that you discovered how much you love fondue?
Yeah. No, fondue is wonderful, but you know it's very strange speaking about fondue in Los Angeles because it's so hot here.
That, right. Yeah. Right.
I think people, if they eat fondue in Los Angeles, they will have problems of their digestion.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if they will sleep very well.
Yeah.
So fondue is a typical Swiss meal, no? How do you call it? Meal.
Yes.
Meal, mm-hmm. you call meal, which is melted cheese.
Mm-hmm.
But melted, so you have a flame underneath.
Right.
And first you prepare it and it melts cheese. You have... normally Gruyere cheese, but you can have a fondue called moitié-moitié, which is even better, and it's Gruyere and Vacherin. And you can also have now goat cheese. And it's very, very, it's very good, and it's lighter.
Right, that makes sense.
Then you put some white wine, or you can do it even lighter with champagne.
Oh, I never thought about
you
bubbles.
Must put garlic. Yeah, because it makes the cheese get... Then you must put a bit of garlic.
Uh-huh.
You must put a bit of muscat. Muscat.
Mm-hmm.
And a hard liquor called Kirsch, which is... It's an alcohol of...
cherries,
of
right?
Cherries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then
so all this together, melted, it's very good. And then you serve it. You serve it in a special plate, which is heated with a flame. And you take some bread.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put the bread in and you eat it. Or you can take it with potatoes also. And it's so good.
So, but it's, to be clear, it's different from raclette, which has to be potatoes, right?
Yes. Well, raclette you eat without, but yeah, you can put potatoes. Raclette is very simple. It's a kind of cheese, a Swiss cheese,
mm-hmm.
melted.
Yeah.
And then your raclette means raclée, means you take a knife and you, how do you say, you
like this. Scrape.
Scrape. So mm-hmm. scrape is raclette.
Yeah, yeah.
You would call here scrapelette. So, because in French you say raclette. So, yes, it's completely different. Because
yeah.
raclette is only cheese.
Right.
The fondue is with wine or champagne and cheese, garlic, and kirsch.
So, for you, are those the specific ingredients? Like, if someone made it with different ingredients but still melted cheese,
What would you do it?
Different cheeses?
You can do it. You know, I think cheeses, if it melts well, you can do it with... If you like different cheeses, you can. But, you know, I wouldn't do it with the blue cheese, like with cheddar cheese. No, it must be not... It must be... Quite not. No, no. You must do it with the no. So don't, please. Then we will have some dead people like eating your kind of fondue with cheddar cheese or with Roquefort, and we don't know. No, please do the right way. We don't want to pay any hospitals or indigestions or things like this our nice people that are listening to
there
us.
There were, when fondue first came to America.
Ah, there's one other thing. You cannot drink water when you have fondue, because then if you drink cold water, the melted cheese in your stomach becomes hard and you feel bad.
So, do you believe that?
It's not belief, it's physical.
Really?
Yeah. You must drink or tea if you don't drink alcohol, or white wine.
So it can be cold white wine though?
Yeah.
Okay,
but
so it's
the
not
alcohol
about the
makes
temperature.
It different. Sorry?
Oh.
It's water.
Okay. You don't want to drink? Because otherwise you'll just end up...
Look at when you take a piece of melted cheese and you put cold water, it becomes hard. Then in the stomach with wine, it has another kind of thing.
I feel like that's just very European encouragement to drink more wine.
No, because I said tea also.
Right, tea.
So I'm what? I'm like Chinese European encouragement.
Right. So international. So in Texas, there's a dish called queso, which just means cheese in Spanish. But when people say queso, they mean melted cheese.
Yeah, but you put it on something.
No, you dip tortilla chips into it.
Yeah, tortilla chips.
So it's kind of...
But now McDonald's also, they do this. You know, they do French fries with melted cheese on top. Do you have this? You don't have this in America already? It's super good.
Really?
I love it. I had it in the airport before leaving when I left from Paris. And so they have those French fries and they put melted cheddar cheese on top.
Oh,
ooh, it's so good.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you should try queso.
Yeah, I know queso.
Oh, okay. All right. You like it, but you wouldn't say it's secretly fondue.
No, it's not at all fondue. You know, fondue is it's a Swiss dish.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Swiss dish. You must eat it with those kinds of, you know, it's like if I say, okay, come to my truck and you will have pasta bolognese. So I do my pasta bolognese with beef and with the little slices of carrot and things like this and with the tomato sauce. But if suddenly I make you a bolognese with fish,
right,
I don't think you would be very happy.
Right, right.
It could be called something else, but it's not bolognese. So fondue needs to be with those cheeses.
Okay. And I have heard that there are different names for different fondue-like dishes, but that don't have that exact mix of cheese, even within Switzerland. They'll call them by different names.
So you have fondue, which is fondue. Then you have the moitié-moitié, which is half and half cheese, which we said is Vacherin and Gruyère.
Mm-hmm.
Then you... But no, you can also put some tomatoes on the fondue. It's good. You can put some truffles also on top. You can put... then, you know, everyone can do. But, you know, we like... traditional dishes.
Right.
No, let's not try to be too fancy. Also, what I want in my food truck is traditional regional pastas of Italy.
Yeah, I think European cooking is more traditional than American. But that's because we have...
American, you have a lot of tradition.
Yeah. Well, like what? What's the thing that Americans...
I love hot dogs. I'm a fan of hot dogs.
Okay.
Here there is this, it's called what? King's hot dog, no? What? There's a very, no, pink.
Pink's.
Pink's. Mm-hmm. And then they have the King's hot dog.
Oh, okay.
It's
yeah.
so good. I love hot dogs.
That's so funny.
I really like hot dogs. I like also hamburgers a lot.
Well, I'm glad that you've embraced American food so much.
Yeah.
Even though you have all these rules about fondue.
Yeah.
So the earliest recipe for fondue comes from 1699. It was a cookbook published in Zurich, and the title of it was just "To Cook Cheese with Wine." So what it said was you have to cut up some cheese and you melt it together with wine, and then you dip bread in it.
I didn't know. So what year?
1699.
Long time ago.
Long time ago. They really had a head start on us in the cheese and wine department in Europe.
So, yeah.
But cheese fondue, sometimes throughout history, in the fancier French cookbook, what they would call cheese fondue was more like what we call soufflés.
Yeah?
Isn't that weird? They would add eggs to it and beat it and have it rise. But they would call it fondue.
And this I don't know.
Yeah. So until the early 20th century, sometimes when people said fondue, they meant souffle, essentially.
But perhaps this is more a French fondue.
Yes. Yes.
Because Swiss fondue is, first of all, you eat it when it's cold outside.
Right.
Now you eat it when you ski.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's a heavy dish, so you need to do sports after.
Right, right.
So, yeah, perhaps the kind of fondue you were saying, like soufflé, is more of a French cuisine thing.
Yeah, I think so. Because the version that we're talking about,
yeah,
over the heater, just the cheese and the wine and a little garlic. So by 1875, people were calling it Switzerland's national dish.
Okay.
There's a lot of civic pride.
You have also rösti, which is Switzerland's national dish.
Tell me more about that.
Rösti is like a kind of potatoes cut in slices. I'm not a cook. I don't even know why I'm explaining about that. and that's all, you know. And it's not some. There's something else. We should check it on the internet, but it's so good.
Yeah, I can't. I know I've had it.
Rösti or, well, something like that. So it's very, very good.
It yeah, it's fried potatoes.
Yeah, but they're together. Yeah, okay, fried potatoes.
It's kind of like hash browns.
I love American cuisine, but it's like if you say to me, your pasta is like cheese and macaroni. Cheese and macaroni is not Italian pasta. It's an American dish.
So you're saying hash browns.
Is not rösti. So, you know, everything must be in categories.
But rösti is just shredded potatoes with butter, salt, and pepper.
It's so good.
Of course it's so good and quite similar to hash browns.
Yeah, whatever you say. Your dog is looking at me in a very bad way, so I will not say no to you.
Yeah, she doesn't like it when people disagree with me. You might get in trouble with that tooth. So you're saying that rösti is as much a national dish?
Rösti is very Switzerland. It's very Swiss, yeah.
Uh-huh. Switzerland is not necessarily known for its food.
No, not at all. Not at all. I don't even know what is the national dish of Switzerland.
Like what Swiss foods are.
You know, because Switzerland, you have the French side, the German side, the Italian side. And you have different cultures, so... Mm-hmm. Well, fondue is known as a Swiss dish, but rösti is known as a Swiss dish. Ah, you have you would love it. The Gruyere cream.
Gruyere cream?
Wow. That with moringa you put in. It's like a heavy cream. It's so good.
What do you do with it?
You eat it.
Just Gruyere cream?
Yeah, no, you put the meringue, how do you say, meringue?
Oh, meringues.
Meringues in it and you eat, or you put chocolate and you eat, but it's so good.
This is crazy.
Well, you would love it. Okay, I know you would love Gruyere cream. It's like the most incredible thing. It's like having an orgasm.
Golly, I'll have to try that out then.
Yeah.
Okay, David Leibowitz, who is one of the leading authorities on European desserts, says that Gruyere double cream is very good, but very, very dangerous.
For what?
I think, like, you'll eat all of it.
Ah, yes, it's dangerous because once you start, you eat all of it.
He says, it wasn't until I dipped my knife into the thick cream, smeared it on the underside of a meringue, popped it into my mouth, did I understand what the locals were talking about and the dangers it would involve. The whole thing literally dissolves when you bite down, and the uber-thin meringue shatter into a million tiny bits and disappear, leaving nothing but a trace of sweet.
Ah, it's wonderful.
It sounds really good.
So you should all go come and visit Switzerland and try to... And discover the wonderful...
It seems very cheese-based.
Yeah. You have a lot of cows. Or a lot of goats, but yeah.
So when everyone comes to visit Switzerland, can we stay at your house? Is that the deal, since you're suggesting it?
Yeah, with pleasure.
Okay,
I will take some sleeping bags.
That sounds so good. Did you know that there is a Swiss cheese union?
Meaning?
It's an organization, an official government organization that's just all about cheese. It was started in the 1930s.
Yeah, it's like OGP for Italian products, no?
What does OGP mean?
Like protected, it's olive oil must be the Italian OGP olive oil if the olives come from Italy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now you have all kinds of, they come from all over. And then they say Italian olive oil. Or like the wine now, you have plenty of fake Barolos, that the wine Barolo must come from Piedmont, the Chianti, Tuscany. This is, OGP is like a controlled kind of company,
Do organizations like that marketing campaigns? Because it sounds like the Swiss Cheese Union specifically wanted people to buy more Swiss cheese. So that's part of the mission of them?
Yeah, in Italy you have a big organization for the Grana Padana, the Parmesan.
Mm-hmm.
Parmesan, Grana, which is done from Parma, and it's controlled. And so, you know, you have also... You know, it's like fake watches or fake. With you can buy, if you want, a fake Louis Vuitton bag.
Uh-huh.
You can buy a fake Grana Padana cheese. That's why you have those organizations that controls.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess so. I guess that makes sense. Although they did, the cheese union did say that they were contributing to the spiritual defense of Switzerland.
Yeah. And then there is all a cultural promotion.
Right. Right. Yes, it's all very serious. Tell me about how you feel about things like chocolate fondue. Your face says it all. You're not into it.
No, I must tell you the truth. Yes. I'm not really into desserts.
Okay.
But chocolate fondue, yeah, it's...
Let me ask.
I don't know. And you put like
berries.
Or strawberries. Yeah, strawberries.
Mm-hmm. Or shortbread, chunks of shortbread.
Bread? No, I like Nutella.
So you'll just eat Nutella instead of chocolate fondue. Right?
I'm Italian. What can I say? No. Chocolate is also Swiss.
Right. Well, apparently, chocolate fondue was invented in the 60s specifically to promote Toblerone.
Possible.
That's what they say. It is possible.
But you have very good chocolate. Lindt is very good. In Switzerland, you have Frigor, which is incredibly good chocolate. Toblerone is very good.
I love Toblerone.
Yeah, so like Switzerland is a watch, because they do a lot of watches.
Mm-hmm.
Banks,
mm-hmm.
because they have a lot of banks. Chocolate and fondue, no? And crème, the cream.
All the luxuries. Essentially.
All the luxuries.
But is chocolate fondue as culturally important in Switzerland as cheese fondue is?
No. I think it's very snobbish thing, the chocolate fondue.
It's more pretentious, right?
Yeah, it's more like, I would, there's no need.
And then what about the oil version, where you just have the heated up oil and you dip meat into it?
I know, this is fondue bourguignon. Mm-hmm. It's a French fondue. And you have the Chinese fondue also, where you have like a kind of bouillon and some Chinese mushrooms and Chinese noodles. And you put the meat and it's cooked with the bouillon or with the oil one, which is bourguignon, and it's more French. You also have an Italian kind, which it's called the bagna cauda,
mm-hmm.
and it's super good but stinky as hell.
Because there's anchovies
and garlic.
You're
so
right.
But it's so good. And you put some carrots, you put vegetables in it.
When you say the Chinese fondue, do you mean that's what they call it in Europe?
Yeah, they call it fondue chinoise.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Because, of course, China has hot pot, Japan has shabu shabu.
Yeah.
Dipping things at the table and taking them out and eating them. It's just kind of a popular way of doing things.
So it's called in Switzerland or also in France, Chinese fondue.
But of course it was the Swiss who were like, you know what? It should be cheese.
No, but it's very good. It's also it's lighter because the bourguignon with the oil is very greasy. Huh?
So, but you were saying that in parts of Europe, you can get the packages of cheese that you need to make fondue.
Yeah, but and apparently you can also buy it here, not in America. I'm sure at Walmart, I'm sure at Whole Foods, you can buy it. No?
Maybe. I've never seen this, but Michelle says at Trader Joe's they have it.
Oh, Trader Joe's?
Yeah. But you said...
But then you need to have the pan. That's,
right.
Because it's a special one to not burn the cheese.
Right. You don't want to scorch that cheese.
No, then you need to have the flame, which is a very light flame. You cannot do it with your burners.
Right.
Then, so it's, you know, it's quite an organization.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes a lot of work. That's why I think it's, in America at least, it's like a dinner party type of dish. You don't just do it on a Wednesday night with your family. It's when you're having a bunch of people over.
Yeah.
That's how it's done here.
Okay.
Is it more day-to-day in Switzerland?
It's more, so first of all, it's a day meal. Because if you eat it at night, it's quite heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So you mainly... eat it like on the ski slopes, mm-hmm. On the mountain.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me, and thank you to speak about those incredible Italian and Swiss meals, and mainly to speak about the Prince of Venice food truck.
Yeah, everyone should go check it out.
Please check it out, and if you want to eat good pasta while you're in Los Angeles, please check it out and see where we are on our website or our social medias, and come and eat good pasta. You will enjoy it.
And say that you heard about it on Smart Mouth.
And say you heard about it on Smart Mouth.
Thanks.
Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye, everyone.
All right. Chills and behind me get a cold, baby, sustain.